chapter 3 briefly. We have been a little disjointed due to the holidays and those kind of things, but we are getting right back on track and back on schedule. We've been in a series for quite some time called One Another. And through this series, we've talked about admonishing one another, encouraging one another, loving one another, and those kind of things. And it's all been very beneficial. The idea is that we are to help each other, to be there for each other. And tonight's message and lesson will not be any different. We are to have compassion one to another. There was a lady that visited a farm. And when she got to the farm, she noticed that there was a pig there that only had three legs and it had a wooden leg. And she asked the farmer about the pig. She said, "What's the deal with this pig?" He said, "Well, that's old Betsy. She's a special pig." And she said, "Well, what's so special about her?" She said, "Well," he said, "one night," he said, "the house caught fire. And old Betsy there, she oinked so loud that it alarmed us and awakened us. And we were able to not only get out of the house, get the fire department called, and receive much needed help to get the house taken care of and the fire put out." He said, "Not only that," he said, "one time our daughter wandered off down to the pond and fell in the pond, couldn't swim, and that pig right there oinked so loud, got our attention. And we were able to get down there and pull our daughter out just in the nick of time to save her life." And she said, "Well, that's amazing. I've never heard of anything like that." She said, "But it still doesn't explain." He had a little compassion on the pig. And we're going to talk about having compassion tonight. I am making a New Year's resolution to be more brief in our Sunday night passages. Brother Gabe and I are going to tag team Sunday nights moving forward. He is going to take every other Sunday night, and I am going to do my part to be as brief as Gabe. We're talking about compassion. How would you define compassion in your heart? Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that, but one of the best definitions I ever heard for compassion was this: compassion is your hurt in my heart. I mean, I thought that was so good. I thought I'd get at least one amen. I didn't know. Compassion is your hurt in my heart. It's when I can feel the way that you feel. You know, a lot of times people will say, when you're going through a tragedy or going through a hardship, people will say, "I know how you feel." And the truth be told, they're just trying to be nice and kind. And honestly, there's a lot of times when they honestly do not know how you feel. They want to be empathetic, but they don't know. They've never been where you are. But compassion says, "I can take your hurt and I can put it in my heart and I can move to a place where I can help ease your sadness." What's easy for us to do is to hear somebody's sadness, to hear somebody's tragedy, and to hear a prayer request, to hear tragic news, and in a moment feel that grief and that heartache, but move quickly past it and forget about it. How many times has someone told you something that was heartbreaking and tragic, and in that moment maybe your heart went out to them, maybe you even prayed for them, but quickly you forget about it and you move on. Compassion is acting upon these things. We are to move on and act upon these things in compassion. Compassion is a Christ-like attribute. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, was moved with compassion. Our text is in 1 Peter, but let me read a verse to you here in Matthew 14, 14. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them." And he didn't move on from that group. He didn't forget about them. He didn't say, "I'll pray for you." It says that he healed their sick. Now, you're saying, "Well, I can't heal anybody." That's not the point. The point is that Jesus was moved into action by his compassion. Whatever that looks like, he was moved into action. And so I want to talk about compassion tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at our text. In the context of all of this, Peter's been dealing with the behavior of wives and husbands, wives being subject to their husbands, husbands dealing with their wives according to knowledge, giving honor to them as unto the weaker vessel, praying with them and those kind of things. But then he kind of moves away from the wives, away from the husbands, into a general sense and speaks to us as believers. And here's what he says. Verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, I want to stop right there for just a second and just insert this thought, and this is why I can't be brief. But there's a thought here. It's easy for us to render good to those who render good to us. It's easy for us to be nice to those who are nice to us. It's easy for us to love those who love us. But he says here in our text that we are to be pitiful and courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but honestly, to be able to render a blessing even if somebody renders evil to us. You see, there's a hellish level of living whereby I render evil for evil. There is a human level of living whereby I render good for good and evil for evil. But there is a heavenly level of living by which I can render a blessing to you in exchange for the evil that you have given to me. Most people never level up to that level. They'll only render that which was given to them. But he says here, the contrary is you don't render evil for evil or railing for railing, but you render blessing, knowing that you're called to inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, let him shun it, and let him do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Here's why, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. There's going to be times when you have to suffer for righteousness' sake, and you can count that as a blessing. It says, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Here's what you do, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. Three thoughts I want to share with you very briefly, very quickly. Number one is the realm of compassion. To whom are we to extend compassion? Well, everybody is the answer. You know, to answer that question, let's ask this question. To whom are we stingy with compassion? Sometimes everybody, and sometimes we're stingy with those who we ought to be the most liberal, and that's within our own families. And namely, within the text, our church family. We ought to extend compassion to our church family. In this case, that's what we're talking about. Compassion one of another. Literally, in this text, it means to feel with another, to suffer with another, to identify with another. In other words, if you're going through a hardship, I ought to take it upon myself to bear that burden with you, to try to feel that pain with you, to have your hurt in my heart, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Ought to have compassion. And by the way, it's one of the reasons why we've started these small groups. You know, this morning there was 327 people in church. How many of those people did you have a real close personal interaction with? Not very many, maybe a few, maybe a handful. But how in the world can we connect on a mass level? So we bring it down into these groups. And the idea when you get into your group is that you're willing to present yourself as human, as vulnerable, as somebody who's experienced some hardship, and be willing to let other people come in and empathize with you and try to be a blessing to you. Yesterday, when I reported to the house of Rick and Janie Garner, as they were sifting through the ashes, I took Janie and Rick aside and I said, listen, we want to be a blessing to you. Sister Crystal, Brother Rick were there. So we want to be a blessing to your family, whatever we can do, whatever we can give. And she said, well, we're not one to really take. And I said, and I think it was Crystal who said, well, I hope you're not one to block our blessing. Don't block a blessing. Somebody wants to be there in your life. Somebody wants to help you along. This is the realm of compassion. We are to feel for each other. Now, how this happens is we have to have a unified mindset. It says be of one mind. That means we are to be like-minded in all things. And that's not to say that we are to be the exact same people. Aren't you glad we're not all exactly the same? You know who I struggle to like the most? People who are like me. Because I like being the only me, right? You know, and people who come in and want to dominate the conversation, I'm like, hey, that's my job to dominate the conversation, all right? It's my job to make untimely and maybe off-color jokes a little bit. It's my job to do those things. And people who are like me tend to bother me some. And so, but we're not to be exactly alike. That would be boring. But we are to think the same way. You don't have to be exactly like me, but we ought to think, we ought to have the mind of Christ. Take your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 2 for just a second. Philippians chapter 2, and look at a couple of verses there with me. Philippians chapter 2, beginning part of that. You know what, let's back up to verse 1 and read it too. It's such a great verse. Philippians 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, that so it's talking about the same things we're talking about, compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, meaning that we are in harmony with each other, and being of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, meaning that inside my church body, I'm not doing anything that I do so that you will glorify me or that I can, or by strife, or so that you'll see me, that it's about me and what I can do or what you can do. But let everything, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so we are to be of the same mind, and we are to have, the mind that we are to have together is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is one of compassion. It's one of unity. It's one of love. It's one of forgiveness. It's one of kindness. It's one of tenderheartedness. So we are to be unified in our mindset, and then we are to have a loving mindset. He says in our text, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Being pitiful means that we are to be tender-hearted, full of pity, inward affection. If you've been down a tough road, then you should know what it feels like, and you ought to use that to come along and help another in your life. You know, sometimes I think we go down hard roads. We're thankful for the pitifulness of others, the mercy, the kindness, the love, and all those things. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to get down a road and forget that we've been down a road. And then when we see somebody else going down a road, we tend to come back with judgment about the road they're going down rather than coming back with pity going, hey, I've been down that road. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with warning somebody about a road they're going down. If you see a brother or a sister going down a road they don't belong on, you can go to them, and you've been down that road, and you can go to them and offer them some guidance and counsel. You ought to. You ought to go to them and say, listen, I've been there. So being pitiful means I'm moved with compassion. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In our text, he says that we are to be courteous, meaning that we are to be humble-minded. Humble-minded, knowing that, you know, when sometimes when people fall or make mistakes, well, I have fallen. I have made mistakes. And I can be kind and pitiful there. So we see the realm of compassion. Number two, the reach of compassion. Every Christian should be involved in showing compassion to another, but how? Reach out verbally. In verses 9, 10, and 11, tells us to reach out with our words. When you think about the power of words and the influence that they have, it should cause us to be mindful of how we use them. How often do we speak without thinking? How I know Brother Matt is guilty of that a lot. Every Sunday I go home and psychoanalyze everything that I said because, like I said last week, sometimes I start sentences and I hope to find them along the way. But we ought to be mindful of the power of words in people's lives. You know, you've heard me say this, that so often we use the old nursery rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And friends, that could not be further from the truth. Words have done unspeakable damage to people. Rather than rendering evil, we should render to others blessings. Isn't it nice when someone comes along and says something nice and encouraging to you? Doesn't it bless your heart when somebody comes along and says, hey, you're doing a good job. I really appreciate who you are. I really appreciate what you've done. You look very nice today. It's a blessing to us. That word blessing, it comes from a Greek word, eulogeo. Eulogeo is where we get our word eulogy. You know what a eulogy is, don't you? It's when somebody comes to your funeral and finally says something nice about you. Amen. That's why I always say we shouldn't wait till people die to say something nice to them or about them. We're like, you know, sure do miss you. Sure do love you. You sure were a good person. They don't even care anymore. But that's where the word blessing comes from, a Greek word that means the same thing as what our English word eulogy means. It means to come along and to praise somebody, to give a good word to somebody. And sometimes that's all it takes for somebody to take the next step and move on to the next day, is that somebody recognized who they were, what they were going through, what they were worth, and decided that they were going to bless them or praise them. Has someone, one of the questions you're going to see in your small group tonight, has someone ever come along with the right words of compassion for you at just the right time? Can I just put this out there too, that you need to be careful with your words, because you don't really always know what the person's going through to whom you're speaking or to whom you're speaking about. And the truth be told, as guarded as we are today, we rarely ever really know what's going on in somebody else's life. There was a pastor named George Truett, pastor of First Baptist of Dallas many, many years ago, for many years. He accidentally killed his friend while they were out hunting. He was brokenhearted. His daughter said of Pastor Truett that he never laughed again beyond that day. And he struggled with that. He had a radio broadcast that he did every day, and every day he would close the radio broadcast with these words, "Be good to everybody, because everybody is having a tough time." And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, we walk through our lives and seldom do we think about others on a very deep level. And we think about, you know, you might be at a restaurant and their waitress isn't doing a good job and we get irritated with the waitress, but we don't know what she's going through. You know, you're at a stoplight and somebody's losing their mind on you and you think, well, what a jerk, but you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're dealing with. Be kind to everybody, be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. It's one of the reasons why we started this small group. These small groups is because people are having tough times, and I want to give people a place, an outlet where they can go and lean on others. So reach out verbally. The reach also comes thoughtfully. Sometimes it comes down to doing something nice for somebody else, an act of kindness. We talk about random acts of kindness that people do. How many of you have ever been in a restaurant line and you got to the window and they said, somebody's already paid for your order? Ever happened to anybody besides me? Yeah, it's called a random act of kindness. Somebody paying it forward, somebody doing something nice. And I feel bad for them because they didn't know I was raising a village. And we can't go to McDonald's without it being $80. But a random act of kindness is good. An act of a kindness to somebody, maybe it could come down to withholding an unkind word. You ever hold back any of those? Be thoughtful of others, their feelings, their struggle. Last thought is this, not only the realm of compassion, the reach of compassion, but the reward of compassion. There are many times when our acts of compassion will go unnoticed. When someone reviles us and we don't We don't act back in that. We turn the other cheek. It seems like we do something and nobody sees. Listen, the Lord sees. In fact, it says in verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He knows our testimony. Not only are the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, his ears are evil. When we think about this, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One of the ways to get our prayers into the ears of God and into the heart of God is through our kindness and compassion to others, being righteous people who are looking to do good and not render evil for evil. But our connection to God can be limited by our sin. Psalm 66, verse 18 says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. And so when I'm living in this capacity, showing compassion, pity, care, kindness to others, God's eyes are upon me. He sees. His ears are open to my prayers. He knows our testimony. He rewards our faithfulness. There are many times when you may feel that when you're being kind or compassionate, people are running over you. Listen, when you're faithful to God to live the way that pleases and honors Him, He's faithful to reward your behavior. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary in doing that which is right. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let someone stomp it out. You do what's right, knowing that God will bless it. Let me end with this story. A lady named Corrie Ten Boom. Many of you know Corrie Ten Boom's story. Her family, they were prisoners in Ravensbrück in the time of the Holocaust with the Nazis. Corrie Ten Boom was a survivor of the Holocaust. She was a devout Christian. Much of her family was as well. Later on in her life, she was speaking at a church about having compassion and forgiveness towards other people. And one of the things that she said in her message to the people of that church, she said this. She said, I'm thankful that God forgave me and that by God's grace, I can forgive others. Talking about having compassion and forgiveness. That quote would be put to the test in just a few moments after which she gave it. After the message and after the service, a man approached her and called her Fraulein. At first, he said he was so thankful to hear the message that she was giving that God forgives and that she forgives. And she didn't know who he was at first, but as she studied his face, she remembered that he was one of the guards from her prison camp during the Holocaust. She remembered that he was one of the guards that had sexually abused and murdered some of her family, including her sister. And she said, in the moment, I felt no forgiveness. I felt only fear. But then she said, I prayed, God, help me to find in my heart compassion and the forgiveness that I just spoke about. And she stuck out her hand to shake his hand. And she said, the moment his hand touched mine, I felt the warmth of God's love in my life. And here's what she said. To that man, she said, yes, the forgiveness of Jesus is a wonderful thing. I'm so glad that we both can experience it today. We got to be loving, compassionate, forgiving, pitiful, courteous people, one to another, and to everybody around us. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. God, we thank you for your compassion upon us, sinful people who fall and make mistakes constantly. Help us now in return to show that love and that kindness, that compassion to others. Bless our church and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, you got your new group leaders. You guys have your, I got some questions for you. You can take with you. Your group leader will take you where he wants you to go. This place is open right here. Let's see here. So Brother Jason's group, there he is. That's him. Brother Johnny's group, there he is. That's him. Brother Stephen Burris, that's him. My group will be going, you know, hand it to him. My group will be going to the fellowship hall. If you're in my group, that's where we shall be. There you go, brother. Wherever you wish. You can go to the old sanctuary if somebody's not taking it. If your group is small enough, but I can take a picture of it. You can take a picture of it. No, you know what? Nobody's in that big classroom that I know of. Take it. Should all be open. If there's somebody in here, there's somebody in there. Jason Watkins' group will be in the big Sunday school class right outside these sanctuary doors.